Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The grass withers, the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen? Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing now as we consider this portion of God's holy word. Father in heaven, we do thank you. Again, we thank you that you loved us, that you love us so much, that you have communicated to us the importance of a God who speaks and a God who acts in our behalf for our good. As we stop and as we think about who you are compared to who we are, we thank you for your love toward us from eternity. And we see it fulfilled even now through this teaching. We pray, O Lord, that you would grant unto us the heart that would receive the heavenly wisdom today. That you would remove from us our reliance upon self-seeking, envious, wicked, demonic, wisdom from the earth. Help us to put off and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been away from James for a little while. We are coming back to the book. What we looked at the last two times that we were focusing on James, James is focusing on our tongue, our speech. And his command, or if you will, want to summarize what he said. He says, guard your mouth. And one of the things that is going to happen, and is happening, I hope, is that when you do that, when you don't speak when you wanted to, and you think about what you were thinking about before that you would have said it normally, if you guard that, one of the things that starts to happen, I hope it started to happen to you, is that all of a sudden you start to see your heart. It reveals the heart. Have you been experiencing that, I hope? Have you become more sensitive to your heart? When someone does something that offends you, and normally you would have said something, instead of speaking, let every man be slow to speak, right? Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry, right? He said that earlier. When you do that, what happens? If you're upset, it bubbles inside, right? Oh, normally I would just blow off, but I'm not because I'm supposed to guard my tongue. So why am I so upset? What am I doing? I'm looking at my heart in the process. I'm starting to examine myself. What is it? What's going on? Well, they offended me. You know, it's all about me. No, you don't have that problem, right? No, I have that problem. Driving down the road, someone cuts you off, and the first thing is, oh, I want to say something or do something. No? Yes? No? Yeah. Perish the thought, right? That's what I should do. I said to my wife one time that happened recently, and I said, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. Was what I was thinking about saying or doing right there was not Christian at the time. So God brings tests into our lives. How are you doing? As we take God's word seriously and we guard the tongue, as we examine our hearts. And he's going to get into that quite well in chapter 4. But here in our text, he stops for a minute and says, okay, let's do a contrast. Let's understand where we should be. What kind of wisdom? What is wisdom? What kind of skills should we be exercising in life? That's wisdom, skill for living. And so he puts a contrast here. So notice in my main point, James identifies the source of many of the conflicts that arise in our lives, that is our heart sins. In the process, he contrasts two types of wisdom that influence our actions and our attitudes. The question for you today is, what type of wisdom guides your life? That's the question I'm trying for you to answer. When you're in situations at work, at school, in life, what wisdom, what is guiding your reaction, your response, your thoughts, your deeds, your words? James says there's two kinds. What type of wisdom guides your life? So here is a time for self-evaluation. So the first thing, notice the context of this passage. James is addressing the testings of our faith. Remember that? That's what he's been doing throughout the book. And so he, in chapter 1, he challenges us, telling us that the trial of our faith works patience and a bunch of other things. There's benefits. And so how are you responding to the trials, the testings of life? We remember we use the language of having midterm exams, the various kinds of exams that God is giving us. One of those in chapter 2 is partiality or a lack of love. Are you a respecter of persons? Do you hang out only with those that you like? Do you avoid those that you don't like? Do you show partiality? Or do you hang out with people because of what you get out of them? Hey, look at me, I'm with the in crowd. Or are you willing to be among the poor and those in need? So partiality he addresses. Also he addresses in chapter 2 someone who says, I have faith but has no evidence. I believe in Jesus, but you could have fooled me. I don't see any evidence. He says, no. A believer in Jesus Christ should reflect Christ. People should see Jesus in your life. Faith without works is dead. Chapter 3, which is what we're looking at, or we've been looking at, is the misappropriate use of the tongue and the call for us to bring that under Christ's control. So that's what we've been looking at. And then in chapter 4, we're going to get into talking about conflicts and strife due to sin. And so we'll get to that. So he's been, again, working on helping us to have skills, godly skills for living, or wisdom that is from above. In contrast to the natural man, the way the world thinks, the way the devil wants us to act, etc. And notice this key verse statement there in chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show, let him reveal by his good manner of life that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. And again, remember that as James is speaking, he has Jesus in mind. Remember that James grew up with Jesus. Did James get to see what meekness of wisdom looked like? Wisdom from above. Yeah, because the Bible, Paul says, Jesus is the wisdom of God. He saw the meekness of wisdom personified throughout his life. So he understood what he's talking about. He saw it happen. Didn't maybe not practically in his life, but he understood it. Jesus, who is himself meek, according to Matthew 11:29, pronounce a blessing on those who are meek. We saw that earlier. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Christian meekness involves a healthy understanding of our own unworthiness before God and corresponding humility and lack of pride in our dealings with other, our fellow men. So meekness, again, what is meekness? Meekness is power under control. Meekness is having the ability to do something and it being under control. So think of a wild stallion versus that same stallion that has been broken and is now under control of a rider. That stallion is great and has great power, but when it's broken, it's under control. It can be led by the mere touch of a rein, by the mere presence and working of the rider. That is meekness. Meekness is having, it's not weakness. People think meekness is just being weak. No, it's not. It's having power, ability, in control by God controlling us. So he's talking about that meekness of wisdom, power under control, skills from God enabling us to do what is right. So James is focusing on wisdom. And if you haven't read these books, I would recommend, if you ever read the book of Proverbs, there's many blessings, it says, in listening to and reading and applying the book of Proverbs. It's a book of wisdom. I think in many ways, James is appropriating Proverbs. I have a lot of passages. What about the Psalms? Is there any wisdom Psalms in the book of Psalms? And the answer is yes. I'm asking the question, and you know the answer is yes. So if you want to write this down, if you want to read some of the wisdom Psalms, read Psalm 1. There you have the contrast. The wise man and the fool. Okay? Those are two terms that are found throughout the book of Proverbs. It's also found in the Psalms. How about Psalm 37 and Psalm 73? Both of those are fascinating because they contrast each other. One looks at it from a positive way and one looks at it from a negative way, and it comes to the same conclusion. I would recommend, if you haven't read Psalm 73 and Psalm 37, sometime just sit down and read those two. And in particular, 73, when the psalmist is struggling because he's looking at the worldly wise men and all the benefits and all the, he's prospering and everything he does is good and everything. And then he goes, I cleanse my hands and veins. You know, I give up. Look at the wicked are prospering and I am losing. I am suffering. And then he says, this was hard for me until what? I entered into the sanctuary of God. I went to church. And then I understood their end. You have set their feet in slippery places. Those riches that they have are going to destroy them. All the good things that they're enjoying in this earth, if they don't know and seek you, are further judgment in hell for them. So he's talking about two kinds of understanding and thinking. He's looking at it from a worldly perspective. It looks all really good until you understand from an eternal perspective, from a heavenly perspective. Wealth destroys. Common grace is grace, temporary restraining, but there is judgment. So Psalm 73, Psalm 37, Proverbs 8, Proverbs 9, contrast Lady Wisdom and Madam Folly. So you can look at the book of Job. You can look at the book of Ecclesiastes. All of these are books of wisdom to help you to understand what is the heavenly wisdom from above. Okay, so let's go ahead and look at what James has to say. First, he identifies this false wisdom. That's my second point. So he uncovers the problem. Notice what he says. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Do you have bitter zeal or jealousy or envy? Siblings, those of you that have brothers and sisters, is that possible that your parents show favoritism to your brother, your sister, more than you? At least, do you think that? Oh, you like her more than me. They never get away. They never get punished. They're your favorite. No, you never had those thoughts? No? You've had those thoughts. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, yeah. Bitter, but notice he says bitter envy. Have you ever met anybody that's bitter? It's hard to reach them. They've been stewing on it. There's a bitter envy. We may not think that we have it, but the temptation is there. But notice that second thing, self-seeking. I don't know about you, but as I read that statement, I went, oh, got me. Ow, that one hurt. Self-seeking in my heart. Is that? Do we all deal with that one? That one's pretty obvious to me. I don't know about you. Calvin says that our hearts are idol factories, constantly churning out new kinds of idols. What's an idol? An idol is me manipulating things to get my way. Are you guilty of self-seeking? Yeah. Anybody else? I have an amen over here. Do I have any more amens? Anybody else? Anybody here not guilty of self-seeking? Please raise your hand. I have candy. Oh, no, we have one. Okay, we need to talk afterwards. No, it plagues us, doesn't it? Right? James says that is what? Look at what he says. This wisdom does not come from above, but what? This does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. The natural man, it's all about me, right? We've talked about this I don't know how many times, right? This is not new to you. What's the middle letter in sin? I. What's the middle letter in pride? I. What's the first letter in idolatry? I. Okay, I. Is that self-seeking? Is it a temptation to look out for yourself? Yeah. Is it totally inappropriate at all? No, there is an element of care about yourself. There is a responsibility. But at the same point in time, can it be misused like anything else? The answer is yes. And so James is saying the problem is rivalry. The problem is self-seeking pursuit. You know what's interesting about the Church of Jesus Christ? One person said it this way. Christians are the only army in the world that shoot their wounded. Whoever said that didn't actually watch the Russians. I've been hearing stories about the Russians that have actually been shooting their wounded. But normally, an army doesn't shoot their wounded. But do we do that to one another? When somebody stumbles and falls, can we be tempted with, you have committed the unpardonable sin, problem uncovered, envy, and self-centered. And notice the source. What's the source? In your heart. And also, what's the source? The world, the flesh, and the devil, verse 15. So in other words, this wisdom, this false wisdom, this worldly wisdom is everywhere around us. What God has called us to be is contra-cultural, against the culture. The culture, this is the kind of wisdom that the culture teaches. It's all about you. You have the right and ability to define who you are and your identity. If you want to be a woman, you can say, I'm a woman. If you want to be a man, you can say, I'm a man. If you want to be a whatever, I'm a cow today. So now your identity is a cow, right? Because you can choose whatever you want to be. I mean, right? This used to be called mental illness. Now it is accepted and promoted in our culture. You can be whatever you want to be. Because why? Because you are God and you are determining good and evil. Is that what's happening in our culture today? Is it simply an outworking of it's all about me? The answer is yes. Is that why Christians are being killed and persecuted even in our country? By people who believe this. Because we are the enemy. We are the ones that say, no, no, no. God is God and you're not. You're not God and you don't determine reality. No, God is God and you're not. So where does it come from? It is this environment, this false wisdom that comes from the earth. And notice he actually gives us some of the results. So this is the spring, is the heart and the world. And the results, notice what he says, verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion. Wow. Confusion. Is that America today? If you wanted to summarize what we're watching around us, would the word confusion be a good way to describe what we're seeing? Confusion of genders, confusion, on and on and on. That's the fruit. Confusion and every evil thing are there. Unrest, demonic disturbers of the peace, divisive spirits. That's another way to describe it, right? Is there division in our country right now? Is there division in our world? Can you say what you believe and not be attacked by somebody else? You can't say that. But I can. But don't you dare. Or I'll kill you. Yeah. Well, in a sense, now remember, this was written 2,000 years ago. James is basically nailing what we're seeing today because it's always existed. It's been under the surface in many ways. It's just become more obvious to us today, right? So the water, the spring, from the spring is every evil thing, the outward expression, but it comes from demonic, it comes from beneath. Okay, Pastor, come on. Okay, you're getting really negative. Can we get positive here? Well, praise God that James does. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is, and now here we see the attributes, pure. Heavenly wisdom is pure. Heavenly wisdom brings peace. Heavenly wisdom is gentle and gentle and meek. Heavenly wisdom is willing to yield to another. Heavenly wisdom is full of mercy. It's full of good fruits. It is without partiality. It is without hypocrisy. So here we see, number one, the source. Where does this come from? It comes from heaven, from above. This heavenly wisdom is the gift of God. It is comes from knowing God, and in knowing Him, listening to what He says, teaching us to follow Him, discipleship, following Jesus. It is the grace of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. All of these things are being described here is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Okay. We're called to be Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and the fruit is attributed to us or to Jesus? To Jesus. Fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit's fruit. Okay, so that is what he's saying, speaking that this gift comes from God. And one of the ways that it comes from is because he's already written it down in the Bible. There's wisdom there, skill for living properly. Do you avail yourself of the source? You go to the Word and you say, okay, I don't know how to handle the situation with my wife, with my husband, with my kids, with my coworkers, with my boss, with my employees, with my fellow students, my teachers. I could go on and on. How do I handle the situation? And we wander about and it's right there. Right? It's right there. It starts with the heart and it goes out from there. Do we avail ourselves of the grace of God? Or do we fuss? And one of those graces is also one another. Is being able to go to one another and say, you know, I'm really struggling to say, I don't know what to do here. What does the Bible have to say? Do you know what to do here? Sometimes, well, I'll figure it out on my own. Right? I can do this. How many times we realize we can? Okay, so we are looking at these attributes of heavenly wisdom. Okay, your homework, if you don't do it, I might ask you next week if you did it. How's that? Can you do me that favor? Can you at least take a little bit of time this week and go to the Beatitudes that we read this morning and go to this passage and try to find all of these attributes of heavenly wisdom in what Jesus said? So that's your homework assignment. What James is doing is he's going through the Beatitudes And he's saying all of the Beatitudes are heavenly wisdom. Blessed. Let's just do what's the first statement here? The wisdom that is from above is first pure. Did Jesus talk about purity? Blessed are the pure in heart. The wisdom from above deals with the heart. And thus it is first pure. And what does it do? It purifies the heart. The second one, what's the second thing he says? I want to do this, don't I? Peaceable. Did Jesus say anything about blessed are the peacemakers? Okay, so I kind of give you a hint. So your homework is to look and see. What James is doing, he's saying, Jesus, I'm taking what you taught, and here it is. This is wisdom. You taught wisdom. You are the wisdom of God. You taught wisdom. These are the things. And so then the application of it, are these things found in your life? Do they flow from your heart? Do they identify you? Are you pure? Are your thoughts pure? Are your words pure? Are your actions pure? Is your attitude pure? What about, are you a lover of peace and unity? Have you ever met somebody that purposely liked to stir up strife? I'm thinking of a particular person that I know back in California that loved to watch other people get in fights and would do things to stir up purposely so that that person could stand back and just laugh. And see, I'm better than them. See, they're fighting. I'm better than them. Are you a lover of peace and unity of the brethren? Are you gentle? You have power under control. How about this one? I am willing to give in on non-essentials. This isn't important. I want my way. That person wants their way. Are you willing to say, okay, that's not important. Okay, that's not important. So full of mercy, full of good fruits, without prejudice, sincere. I like the word sincere. What does this word sincere come from? Without wax. A vase during the time of the time of James, if it got a crack in it, a very valuable vase, they would use wax to fill in the crack. And then they sell the vase as not having any defect. So how did the potter make sure that everybody knew that there's no wax? On the bottom of the pot, he would write, without wax, sincere, without wax, that this vessel has no cracks, and it's not filled in. Think of the used car salesman that pours sawdust down in the engine, right? And it runs great for about how many miles and then blows up, right? That's that wax. Without sawdust. Could be a more translated. Are you a sincere person? What you see is what you get. So again, your homework is to go to Matthew 5 and compare and contrast those. The main thing is, or one of the things is, we are called to be peacemakers, exercising that self-control, that meekness of wisdom. May God grant us the grace to do so. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you are the peacemaker. You are the one that reconciled us, we who were at war with you. We who were following earthly wisdom in Adam, yet in your mercy you turned us, changed us, you made us alive in Christ. And it is you who brought peace, brought reconciliation. And now we have boldness to enter into the holy presence of God in the throne of mercy and grace to find mercy and help in time of need. Thank you for that. Pray that you would do that work in us, that truly that others would see us and they would see the wisdom of God, the skills for living that come from the Spirit, the work of the Word, that you would be glorified, that they would see Jesus, who is that ultimate wisdom from God. And so we ask, O Lord, for you to do that work in us. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.